Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and we are still covering the COVID-19 pandemic from all sides here. Just to let you guys know, there are more interviews lined up with people who are volunteering. There are people who are in the medical profession and people who are affected by it in different countries. We will be continuing to bring you these podcasts, but in order to do so, unfortunately, we do need support. I understand it's a difficult time. We've seen it's a difficult time, but we could really do with people giving us a hand. Patreon.com/tortoiseshack just helps us keep the show on the road. Anyway, without further ado, Martin, comrade Varadkar.
Yeah. Well, we had the big speech yesterday. We've had the lockdown. Well, the lockdown that's not a lockdown. Ambiguous messaging with that, Tony. But go on, tell us what you think of the lockdown.
Well, I think it's what's quite unbelievable about it is the fact that, and I saw it only a few moments ago on social media, where the Taoiseach's best friend Henry Minogue, who is the CIO of Independent News and Media, was discussing saying that, you know, when this is all over, we'll be getting back to business as usual and the bill will fall due. And I don't think they get it, that by declaring to everybody that we can have a single tier health system, that we can do rent freezes, that we can do a ban on evictions, people can't unsee that. And someone replied to me this morning when I put this out, and I said, you know, this is you've all the old rules have melted away, they're gone. And they came back and they said, oh yeah, but only in the cases of an emergency. And I, yes, but the same Taoiseach who did that yesterday stood on the floor of the Dáil four times to my recollection and said homelessness was an emergency.
Yeah, that's 100% true, Tony. That's 100% true.
So, it, you can't pick and choose your emergencies, and the public aren't stupid. So, you know, where this is going is when they say that people want to see, you know, oh, look, 2% isn't ambitious enough for climate action and carbon emissions reduction. We want 7. And they'll say, well, we can't do that. Well, oh, yes, we can. And then people will say, you know, well, we want rents that are consumer to incomes, you know, based on 33%, 35% of what the income is as what is, you know, cost rental. Well, we can't do that. Oh, yes, we can. You know, all of these things now, they've squashed the tube. The toothpaste has gone all over the place. And now they want us to believe that they're going to be able to put it back in the tube. And people aren't going to buy it. If you remember, Martin, we were talking pre-election about, you know, this was the opportunity in the election. We were saying vote left, transfer left. And I kept using the phrase hope plus action equals change. It turns out it's crisis plus action equals change.
Well, the rule book is torn up, Tony. The changes that they're really gargantuan changes that are happening to society, massive. We've never seen anything like it before. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The Minogue position of when this all gets back to normal, this isn't all getting back to normal. And there you go. Let's just put it out there. It's not getting back to normal. This is an ongoing crisis that could be with us for some time. It'll have to be managed over a period of time. Socialism is the only mechanism that actually works to do it. Capitalism just stood there one hand long as the other and said, well, what do we do about it? And you end up with Trump and you end up with England and, you know, they moved here yesterday. It was to see the hospitals. And some people will argue with you, say, oh, they're not nationalized. But yeah, they're all but nationalized. Truly, they are all but nationalized. And that brought back into the system the beds that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael had taken out over 20 years. It's an amazing, amazing thing that happened.
Like that.
There was no fanfare about it. There was no, it was slipped. It
Martin,
was just literally slid
Martin,
in.
Martin, a revolution without even so much as the whiff of cordite or gelinite or whatever.
Now, the one thing I said this is the long haul, Tony, and I've said this before. Everybody you see at the beginning of this who's leading this, whose faces are front of the camera, they will not be the same people at the end of this.
Well, they want us. There's a huge amount of people who want us to forget that they lost the election quite badly recently. It's I was quite offended that the Irish Times ran an article by a former Fine Gael special advisor telling us to ignore the Constitution and leave Leo alone. You know, they tried that, let Leo lead. He's a catastrophe. Now, yeah. He gave a good speech, and the speech obviously saved the world and everybody in the world. I believe people stood up and walked who hadn't walked before, and all sorts of miraculous...
They're playing it in A&Es, Tony. They play it in A&Es across the country. Every morning, everybody goes in, and there's a picture of Leo up on the wall, and the music goes, and it's something Kylie Minogue. Yeah. And everybody listens to this speech, because it's so bold. It's such bollocksology. No, look, seriously, let's be really serious about this.
Let's be, no, like, come on, wonder, the steps that he's actually taken, he was told to take, and all of those steps, are 3 weeks ago, he said, yeah. we're Venezuela, Alice in Wonderland, economics. These were pledges made by parties of the left in their campaign manifestos, and Fine Gael said, oh, we can't even just talk to them. They're off the wall stuff. And now it's like, well, actually, we're going to implement them. Do you remember when Labour came out with their list of, you know, every little hurts, and Fine Gael got to the government and made them implement everything that they said they wouldn't?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the pain list.
We've never seen a U-turn like this, ever.
No. And look, in the circumstances, we're not really getting a chance to discuss or digest what's happening, because it's all happening so very fast. We are in a very strange period, and nobody has an exit strategy. And that's what I think we need to be discussing, is that there is no exit strategy. How do we manage this going forward? I heard Dan O'Brien yesterday, and Dan is talking about money, just lash it out there. And I'm like, yeah, completely agree with Dan, absolutely. And for me and Dan O'Brien to be on the same page, you're like, oh my God, there's something really going on here.
I spoke to Dan, I spoke to Dan, and I have to tell you, he is very much of the mindset of save everybody we can. Now, the problem is what happens in the mindsets afterwards. When does the bill fall due? You know, and I think that is where, like, we're smiling now, looking at this, going, realizing that there's no way that we're going to have to repeat the mistakes of, like, the EU will have to step up and absorb huge volumes of national debt. There's no question, because it's not going to become a situation where living standards are going to be accepted, that, you know, we're all going to have to understand that, oh, that these rules apply, the fiscal compact, debt to GDP ratio. I'm sorry, but no, never again do we need to listen to that nonsense. And I'm someone who, you know, works in that world, so no.
Well, I look, it's going to be very difficult for everybody involved. And what you don't want is everybody locked up and angry and needing things and not able to get a bottle of wine, or, you know, all the normal things need to stay as normal as possible. That means that stuff that you never considered essential before is going to have to become essential.
Yeah.
Stuff that keeps people occupied is essential, as essential as anything else.
Look, you saw the list of essential occupations. I was heartbroken to see mine wasn't on it. I am now surplus to requirements.
I remember saying this to you a long time ago. When the last spaceship is leaving the Earth, there won't be any accountants or bankers on it. You know, nobody's going to need them.
The other thing that's quite funny is this mentality of, and I want to go back to it, the bill.
Yeah.
That's a fallacy. Even in capitalism, no, the bill never gets repaid. They simply just kick it out. They put it together and they say, okay, what can we do that, you know, put it over 10,000 years as opposed to over a 10-year term? The bill never gets repaid. The number is just a number on a screen. And, you know, it goes back to what we always say when people say, oh, Bitcoin is just a bubble. And, you know, and they go, yeah, but all fiat currencies are effectively a bubble. Don't worry about it. You know, as long as we're able to maintain a decent standard of living, and we can see that we can have nice things, we just don't want to have them in the course of a pandemic, you know?
Yeah. Well, on another note, Tony, I think we have to start looking at, and I know they're looking at a European picture, and how does Europe come back up, and how does Europe get itself sorted? But we are an island, and we are very unique in that we can isolate, and I've said it before, far better than anybody else can isolate. We can isolate counties, towns, villages, and un-isolate them as well, so that you can bring your economy up piecemeal, bit by bit. You may never have to shut everything down. I think the feedback of information that we're getting is very slow. I think it's not helping. The testing is very slow. That's not helping. So our figures are all out of date. And I really do wish that the communication would improve. They have brought in somebody for communication, and communication has disimproved since they got there. You know, leaving people in the dark, not telling them exactly what's going on. And I don't think we need to be mollycoddled or treated like children. I think you have to give it to us dead straight, full on, no trying to mollycoddle people. And I'm getting frustrated at the lack of information. And then they keep saying, don't go to any other source except the official sources. But the official sources are saying bugger all, and whatever they do say is 3 or 4 days out of date. So no, I don't like it.
I understand. I share your concerns around the time takes. Things are taking too long. We know that they are ramping up. In fairness, there are more testing centers opening. We know that there's a shortage globally of you know, kits for testing. We know that the shortage globally of many of the things that we need to tackle this. And we know that there's private individuals and government now stepping up and trying to get these things resolved. That doesn't fill me with great comfort. And I understand what you mean around the communications side. I also think that there's also an element of, you know, stage management here.
Big time.
When you're stage managing it, you're trying not to create enough panic in the general public. And I think some of that is responsible, and some of that is just a bit of self-preservation. It can be a bit of both, but what worries me more than all of that, if I'm truthful, is the reality of this is that, you know, we're looking at we're kicking the can now to what is it, the 19th of April, and we're going to review that again, and then we're going to review, and you know, we need a vision of how, you know, look, as a country, what we can all do. I like the idea that there's going to be more FaceTime for whoever the Taoiseach is, be it Leo Varadkar, be it anybody. I like that idea that they'll address the country, but you don't need to try and satisfy everybody. He gave mixed messages yesterday. It was clear he gave mixed messages. Yeah. I think it was Fiat Kelly asked from, you know, you said now that we can gather groups of four.
Can we visit Granny?
Can we now visit Granny then? And he went, oh, well, no, that's not what I meant. Well, if that's not what you meant, clearly that's what was heard in the room, because Fiat wouldn't have asked the question if it hadn't come across. And I shared that. Like, I mean, my eldest asked me, can she now see two or three of her friends? And I'm like, no, not really. No, not at all. Like you can see them on FaceTime or Zoom or whatever way we're going to do it, but you're certainly not going out socializing, you know. So there was
I think it was very easy to pick the influences in that speech. I think it was very, you can definitely see the CIF influence in it.
Mm.
Yeah, and these are lobbyists. These are big lobbyists that are always going through the door to government. So you can see the CIF, because they didn't shut down non-essential construction. And anybody who knows a building site knows that it's impossible to have social distancing on a building site. It is impossible. So the CIF got a little boost out of it. And then the other one, which, you know, go to the next list of lobbyists, it's the Vintners. Well, the Vintners got it with the off license. Now, I happen to actually agree with that. I think that when you're going to go to the difficulty of a lockdown, the last thing you want to do is go through prohibition as well. I think that wouldn't be a good idea. I think you're going to have to make an awful lot of stuff available to people. But it does worry me that I can see these two pillars within what was done. That were specific SOPs to industries. I thought we were in this for the health of the nation. I didn't think we were in this for SOPs to industries. I didn't think so.
Well, I would always say that, you know, anything like, no, like Tom Parlin and the Construction Industries Federation, we have a problem with lobbyists in this country. We've had it for many a time. It's not just the CIF, it's many of them. And, you know, and so look, you only have to look at Enda Kenny's last advisor, Mark Martell, is now, you know, another one of these lobbyists. Lucinda Creighton has Vulcan Consulting. Yeah. You know, and you know, Jared Howland, they all have their consultancy firms. They all go in and out. They all have access to the corridors of power, and they all, unfortunately, represent vested interests. They certainly don't represent our best interests at heart. And I think people will see that more and more as the bureaucracy and the layers and the transparency come, as things become more transparent, we will see that. You know, I recall Lucinda Creighton actually coming at me on social media, and you might remember when I referred to her as a lobbyist, and she said, "I'm not a lobbyist." And I said, "Well, how come you're?" I said, "How come you've over 400? Your name comes up over 400 times on the lobbying register, and your company the same again?" I mean, you know, you can call yourself a consultant all you want, but we need to be more upfront and know who are talking in the government's ears. But more importantly, at the moment, while they are still pulling some sort of strokes, it's probably a strong word, but definitely something that makes people uncomfortable. They're losing the bigger battle because they've had to do things that they never, ever envisaged that they'd do.
These are massive, massive changes. We have changed 80 years of counter-revolution in 24 hours, really and truly, Tony. You know, the ideals of 1916 are closer now than they have been in any year since 1916. And that's unreal. And it took a pandemic to do it. Now, you know, fingers crossed we come out the other side. No, people are not going to, you're never going to be able to turn around to somebody and go, "Well, yeah, you're worth 180 quid a week on the dole." That's never going to wash anymore. Never, ever, ever going to wash anymore. I feel sorry for all the people that had private health insurance. Turned out to be a Ponzi scheme. Sorry about you. You know, but this is everybody's health. And it's amazing when it's everybody's health. I mean, whole sections of society have been excluded for donkey's years. The mothers and children have been excluded. People have been homeless have been excluded. Now they're all important because if any one of them is sick, it can affect the top table. So now they're important. It really does go to show the class divide that exists in this society. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, class is the last thing I want to touch on because that is what's come to the fore. I saw Sarah Carey yesterday using the word priorities when people were asked about, you know, there are two people in direct provision have tested positive and we need to move them out now and we need to help them self-isolate. And she used the word priorities. That was dripping with classism. Absolutely dripping with there is a social hierarchy, and you know, these people at the top are important. These people in emergency accommodation and direct provision are not. Sarah, you're free to tell me I'm wrong, but I tell you, when I read it, I was absolutely horrified and chilling effect that I saw. And I saw Orla Hegarty dealing with it quite well in terms of pointing out the medical experts. Everything you're saying is going against the medical experts' opinions. Look. We will be bringing a couple of more podcasts for you during the week. We definitely have several lined up with people across the place, you know. And I'll try and make sure we get some more new voices on. So keep an eye on your podcast feed. We are launching Glow West soon. We're Caroline West, so that will be launching on the Tortoise Shack feed. And we have Ewan McKenna's Black Eye, and you can hear the hesitation in my voice because I'm afraid I'll be the one who gets a black eye shortly when that goes on air.
Just one last thing to say, Tony. I think people should be a little bit more hopeful now. The levers are being pulled. As we said, all the levers would be pulled. I'd be more hopeful on the economic side of it that they're beginning to get to grips with it. So yeah, that's a little hope to take from all of this.
Yeah, talk to you all soon, folks. Troy, if you have a price of a cup of coffee in your pocket, why don't you? And you think you'd buy Martin a cup of coffee if you saw him for his birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah. I know. Very quiet birthday, but I'll always remember it as the lockdown birthday.
Yeah, well, look, you know what? Someone might throw you 250 later and make it all worthwhile.
Talk to you all soon,
folks. Talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.